Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Jeff Ellis.
And this is Stephen Miranda for Thursday, September 1st, 2011.
Episode number
7.13, the NFC South and West Assessment Show.
Now, these aren't necessarily the best teams, all of them, but some are pretty good. Some are really bad.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about that.
We're going to be talking about news.
Chris Johnson and becoming a $13 million a year man.
Good for him, and we're very happy about that. And so we've got, what teams are we going to be talking about?
Talking about the Falcons, the Carolina Panthers, New Orleans Saints, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and in the West, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Seahawks, and the 49ers. And I must applaud you, Jeffrey. I must give you one of these.
What'd I do? I did something good. Thank you. Thank you. First of all, I just want to relish in the moment before I find out that it's a backhanded compliment.
I applaud you for putting the AFC West in alphabetical order the way it should be.
Oh, no. We're back to the ST
Arizona, St. Louis, Seattle, and actually it's San Francisco, and then Seattle.
So I don't have it right, so you take back everything as was predicted. Steven, let's get on with the good times since we have good times.
And it's not me.
It's not me. It's just this.
Just a good old boy. And never meaning no harm.
And beats all you ever saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day he was born.
And this man really has been in trouble with the law since the day he was born, and now he's in jail.
Oh, Cedric Benson.
Yeah, not so entertaining, Cedric.
Yes, the not so entertaining Cedric. The not so entertaining Benson.
And he changes his mind. You know, Benson was a great TV show. Did you enjoy the show, Benson?
I do remember
back in the
Benson.
Day, Robert Guillaume was the actor.
Robert Guillaume played a very good Phantom of the Opera.
The Phantom of the Opera.
His Phantom was probably the best Phantom I've seen.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, enough about that.
Seth Benson was originally, he said, as everyone knows, he got arrested a few times this offseason during the lockout.
In the state of
mostly
Texas.
Mostly for fist fights. One time against his family.
Assaulting people.
A former roommate and then a guy at a bar. And
how do you assault people?
Well, you just basically, see, I think the best way to assault people is to take the lid entirely off the salt shaker and then dump the contents on them.
Bum.
You asked how you assault people, Stephen. Right. Like, you don't know how to assault somebody? Beat on them.
I don't believe I have ever assaulted anybody.
I have seen assault before.
Okay.
I remember one time I came outside the rave cave, and I walked down the little path, and there was a man assaulting, and there was two men assaulting each other, throwing haymakers at each other.
Really?
And that was assault. If that was not assault, I don't know what is. They were beating on each other.
Okay, well.
Sometimes it can be as simple as a dining room chair thrown at somebody.
That's assault?
That's assault, okay. Yes. Right. It's just basically anything you do out of anger to harm.
I've still never done anything like that.
But if you really do want to assault somebody, take the lid off the shaker, dump
it
in their eye.
Bottom line here is that Cedric Benson decided that, you know, all right, I've done wrong. He copped a plea, and he got 20 days in jail, in a Texas jail.
And in Texas, that doesn't mean a whole lot. That means you could only do, what, 10 days, 11
Something
days?
Something like that, 10, 11 days. But basically, he was set to go and turn himself in on October 17th.
The first day of their bye week.
That's right. But I think the Cincinnati Bengals said, are you kidding? Get out of here now. We don't want to have to deal with this nonsense in midseason.
Because the Bengals have actually shut down their booking facility as a means of trying to save money.
So, Benson turned himself in this past Tuesday. He started serving in sentence. The hope is that he is out in time for the first game against the Cleveland Browns, September 11th.
They're going to really need him.
They're going to need somebody.
They're going to need a lot of bodies. In fact, I suspect that they're going to have a little lottery there in Cincinnati. And before the game begins, Marvin Lewis is going to walk around the stands and find the most buff guy he can find.
Yeah.
And he's going to bring him down and put him on the roster for that game. And you do that, that's, you know, you got a practice squad, but their practice squad guys suck because their team sucks.
Yeah.
And we've got one thing. I just want to straighten this up, Stephen. One thing just to be very clear about. If we say negative things about your team, that doesn't mean we hate you.
Or your team.
It means we think they suck. If we think your team sucks, then we think your team sucks. Has nothing to do with hate. If Steven and I had a perfect world, friends. No. If we had a perfect world, we would have 32 teams who were very competitive.
Yes.
And we would see something that is fantastic, and we would love it.
All right, I just think
you're, we're going to talk about.
I just think you're letting the emotions of emails that you've received over the past
week.
They
keep using the word.
Why do you hate my team? Why do you hate my team? I understand. You know what? I have learned in these 7 years here of NFL rants and raves.
Been doing this a while.
You let it go. You just what? You know what?
Water
you
love off your, a duck's back.
You love.
Love the one you're with.
Okay. I'm like, you know what? You are a fan of that team, and I understand your anger, and you move on.
Yeah.
You move on. You don't put much stock into it because it is coming from a fan.
So Jean-Jacques Taylor is saying that the Cowboys are basically phoning it in this year to rebuild.
That was stupid.
Now, that's not you being defensive because you're a Cowboys fan, and he's hating on your team.
I saw a post where a Redskins fan posted and said, okay, I'm a Redskins fan, and you're off your rocker, dude.
I'm predisposed to hate the Cowboys, and I think that's a stupid comment.
Okay.
Rebuilding.
When your rival comes out and tells you, yeah, you're dumb.
You're high.
It was pretty dumb.
Yeah, it was. But I'm just trying to establish what hate means and what.
And nowhere near in my tirade towards Jean-Jacques Taylor did I ever curse at him or.
No, he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
We like him. We met him, and we think he's a good guy.
We just get curse words thrown at us.
Yes. My favorite word for me is imbecile. That one didn't even hit home. That was good.
No,
that rolled off my back a little bit.
Yeah. I thought it was the a-hole, the one that got you.
That one stuck longer than imbecile.
Yes, just a little.
You're an a-hole. Wow.
Okay,
I've never got an email from you in my life until
and
now.
Your first email is
you're an a-hole. Yeah, okay, thanks.
But I just forget them. You know, forget them and
forget
move on.
Okay.
All right, and under the news, Chris Johnson is now coming to Tennessee. He's done, if you watch the 5-Minute Football Fix today, he's done chilling on a beach in Florida earning 20%. Because now he's earning close to 40%. 4-year extension on his deal, $53.5 million with $30 million
Gura. And what that works out to, I did the math, over 16 games over 4 years, this is what he's guaranteed, $470,000 a game.
Wow. Because you know what his base salary was for this season?
I do want to know.
$800,000. He was set to make $800,000. So in two games, he's going to make what
Chris.
He was going to make all year.
And Deion Sanders is going to have to find somebody else to call pay-to-man.
Yes, pay-to-man. Well, you know who the next pay-to-man is.
Peyton Hillis?
Adrian Peterson
needs to be paid the man.
Adrian Peterson
he's going to get paid. Frank Gore's got a new contract. Congratulations to him.
Frank Gore, $21 million there. Adrian Peterson has grossly outperformed his rookie contract and deserving of a big fat
one. He ain't done.
He's not. I expect to see big numbers from him this year because the Vikings are going to rely on his legs a lot. Now, Jeffrey, we've got – do we have something else? One more thing?
I don't know. It's hard to say. When we spend all day in this cave recording our videos and recording the audio stuff for the podcast, it's hard to remember exactly everything that's happened over since we last –
I can give you one of these. Give me one of these.
Okay, hang on. I got to find – dang it. I didn't know you were going to go there.
Come on.
I know it's in the other car. Just a sec.
Come on.
Hey, I know. He's tapping the speaker.
I'm doing it.
He's tapping the speaker. And it's right there.
This just in, Jeffrey.
Chris Johnson was breaking news just 4 hours ago. Now what?
Well, this is live game action where Detroit Lions' Harrison ran 47 yards to put the Lions in the red zone. They're getting ready to score on Buffalo.
That's it, Red Zone Channel here on NFL Rants and Raves. When you listen to this a week after the game's played, you're going to go, okay, I knew that. I looked at a box score already.
All right, I'm sorry.
Steven promised me he wouldn't look in on live games.
All right,
especially week four of the preseason live games.
I'm stopping.
Because you know what we learned from that? We learn if you're really a geek and you're in Dynasty Fantasy Football, you're basically scouting.
You are scouting, and sometimes you need a scout dog.
And of all the fantasy football players, it's estimated there's 30 million here in the United States of America.
Yeah.
Those that play Dynasty Fantasy Football, I would put it less than 500,000.
Okay. But it's pretty cool. And, you know, you're scouting Harrison, who goes off the right guard for a 47-yard run.
I want to go grab him in Dynasty Leagues because of what he did in week 4 of the preseason.
No,
okay.
That's not true. All right, let's start with the Atlanta Falcons.
The NFC divisional best record last year, home record throughout the entire playoffs. And everybody said, you know, they haven't lost a game at home all year. They're going to be in the Super Bowl. And then a funny thing happened on the way to the Super Bowl.
What happened? They faced the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, this blitzing machine and offense that is just...
Game wasn't even close.
You know, I wish, Stephen, this is one of my greatest regrets from last season, is that I didn't have the cojones to go out and say, I believe, I guarantee that the Packers are going to win by more than 10.
Touchdown!
Sorry,
Sean Hill threw a touchdown
pass.
I'm done.
But I think you're lying.
I got the little alert on
say
my box.
Say what you want about Stephen Miranda. He lied. Now, he is a god, fantasy football god, damn nice guy. Guy you'd be proud to call a friend. But when it comes to things that aren't important, he'll lie. He will lie and lie and lie.
Do you want me to have an episode?
I'm just saying. James, I'm just saying.
He doesn't get one right now. He doesn't get in his all. No, he doesn't get what
he won't when I'm insulting him.
Yes, he's trying to give me...
I'm saying one of the nicest guys you can know will lie his brains out if it doesn't matter.
All right, look, they picked up Julio Jones. They went out and did something against a lot of teams.
Against the best wisdom, best practices, if you will.
And they gave up a whole bunch of draft picks to move
all the way up
to the sixth spot to get wide receiver Julio Jones, who they think is going to carry them over the top. They also, in the third round, got Akeem Dent. And in the fifth round, picked up running back Jaquizz Rodgers.
And here's the thinking, truly. We had what's his name in there with us at the Super Bowl, Mike Smith.
Yeah.
We had Mike Smith in there with us, and we talked Atlanta Falcons. And, you know, I really think he felt, look, with what we've got going on offense, we are just somebody lined up on the other side, one deep threat away from being Super Bowl contenders.
Yeah.
And that's truly what he thought, and that's how he played it, and that's why they went and made the move that they did. And if they're right, hats off to them. They're smarter people than we are.
Well, they shored up their running back situation because they re-signed Jason Snelling. He almost got away through free agency. He was an unrestricted free agent. They re-signed him. They didn't make a whole bunch of other moves, Jeffrey. They kind of just like they really thought this Julio Jones signing was the thing. And what's emerged with Julio Jones now on the other side is they're playing Harry Douglas in the slot.
Oh, my gosh. And Harry Douglas
has looked
being a
fantastic.
Beast. And Roddy White's still getting all of his catches,
right.
So don't get us wrong.
And there was a game where they targeted the bejesus out of Julio Jones, just throwing the ball, and he had about five, six
catches.
You know,
he definitely has separation ability.
Yeah.
But his hands are still a work in progress we're seeing.
I like what the Atlanta Falcons bring to the table. I think that they're going to be a very good football team. I think their defense has improved slightly. So if they have to face those nasty, dreaded Green Bay Packers, maybe the Packers don't get the best of them this year. I like the Atlanta Falcons, but unfortunately for them, they're in a division with a team with the best record in the NFC. So that puts the Atlanta Falcons second in this division. But still with enough moxie to make the playoffs.
Okay, I also have them making the playoffs. I have potentially three teams making the playoffs out of this division, Steve.
Wow, that's a little surprising.
And, it is because it doesn't happen very often, but it can certainly. When what happens with teams, with teams is when they're building their teams, they're generally building them to compete within their division.
Okay.
And so what you end up doing often is you have a division that is really stacked because they're trying to outperform each other. And when the class of the division is the New Orleans Saints, you have a hell of a lot of work to do to be able to compete with them, knowing you're going to play them twice a year. And so what Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta is trying to do constantly is, how do we make sure that we beat the Saints?
And
if you're going to beat the Saints, the same thing in the AFC, if you're in with the New England Patriots or you're in there with the Pittsburgh Steelers, that's why the Ravens have gotten so good, if you ask me. Yeah. They're trying to beat the Steelers twice a year. And guess what? You get to be pretty good when you do that.
Well, the Atlanta Falcons finished at 13-3 last year. They won the division. They had the number one seed in the NFC. And then in came the Green Bay Packers and kind of dethroned them, knocked them off pretty quickly in the divisional round. So the Falcons... Falcons this year, I believe, are the wild card, one of the wild card teams. I think they are going to have to go on the road and win out this season. It's going to be very difficult for them to go on the road because I think in Atlanta, in their comfort zone, they're a really fast team. They're a really sharp team. But they do struggle when they leave the confines of the Georgia Dome.
Yeah.
And especially on natural turf, when they're on grass.
So tell me, look at the road games a little bit and tell me what the tough road games are that they have as I bring people this.
Oh, real breaking news.
Well, kind of. How far from greatness have the mighty fallen? The once promising Kentuan Ballmer has been released by the Carolina Panthers.
Wow.
If you can't catch on with the Carolina Panthers, friends, there's nowhere else to fall. There's Arena League in your future or bagging groceries at a supermarket.
Jeffrey, now this should be a note for Jean-Jacques Taylor. Mm. The Carolina Panthers are a team that is rebuilding.
Anybody who thinks differently is not hating. They have eyes.
Okay. All right. There you go.
No one in the Carolina Panthers organization thinks they're doing anything but rebuilding.
The Cincinnati Bengals are rebuilding. Okay. When you have a rookie quarterback, a rookie wide receiver, rookies all over the place, I think that you are rebuilding. So the Carolina Panthers are rebuilding. That's a very interesting move there.
Okay. Quickly, James. I want to know whom you like best in this division right here. Get that mic up there. Come on. You can do it. You're not a girl.
I like the New Orleans Saints.
Thank you very much. Now go to the post office.
The New Orleans Saints.
Go run errands.
And that's who I think that's what I've got. I don't know who you've got, but that's what I've got leading. So I've got the Falcons. Number two, I won't tell you my record for them until...
Because the prediction show is coming next week.
Next week on Monday.
Do you believe this, folks? The prediction show and then... Show 400 is our first week one breakdown
of
the NFL.
Come on, give me some props. I planned it that way. That week 400 would launch week one preview show.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. This is...
400th episode.
You can say a lot of things. Again, this is an example of Stephen lying, but again, he's so well-intentioned.
I did. Mm-hmm. I planned
did.
It
I
so that 400
did.
Kicks off week one preview show.
Mommy, a naked American man stole my balloon. Stop lying.
Wow. See, I can't...
Okay,
see?
In your defense, that kid was telling the truth. A naked American man did steal his balloon.
Yes.
An American Werewolf from London.
Yes, to hide his goods.
To hide his junk. That's right. And dang, I'm really glad he did. Okay,
right.
So what do we like defensively here? John Abraham looks a little bit spry, doesn't he?
Spry.
He's been looking like he's been ready to hang him up the last couple of years. I think he's been feeling a lot of the injuries and the age and the experience in the NFL. And I've really liked what I've seen from John Abraham at the right end. And I think he's used this lockout as a way to heal up his body and to play maybe a little young for himself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, there's going to be some good things from the Atlanta Falcons.
Let's Robinson on the corners. I like this team a lot, Steven. I can't say enough.
Let's move on to the team that is in rebuilding mode, the Carolina Panthers. Now, Jeffrey, I found it.
Nothing could be finer than a
to watch another team. Remember, Panthers fans, when you go to a Panthers game, you get to see another team that's better than yours. And that's not a bad thing. I know as a Rams fan for years, when I would go to Anaheim Stadium to watch the Rams play, there was a chance I was seeing a pretty good football team. It was never mine, but there's a chance good teams came into play.
I find it very difficult to see how the Carolina Panthers are going to win football games this year.
Yeah.
But nothing could be finer
than to be in Carolina
for a Panthers football game. Except that you're going to have to suffer through some losses this year.
A lot.
It's just
when you guys win, I suggest you party like it's 1999. Okay.
Quickly. I'm going to take away Cam Newton, Steve Smith, and D'Angelo Williams. Name somebody on the offensive side of the ball.
Greg Olsen, the new tight end.
Oh, I forgot about it. I should have taken him away. Greg Olsen, he's gone. And Shockey, he's gone too. Now who you got?
Really struggle there. Legadou Nane, they got from the San Diego Chargers.
Okay.
I liked Nani people. When he was a Charger because, yeah. you know, Philip Rivers was throwing him the ball. No, Steven, they're not good. They're really not. Greg Olsen's going to get a lot of work.
He will get a lot of work.
D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart are going to get a lot of work. I think even Mike Goodson as a backup running back is going to get – they're going to run a lot of split running back sets, if you ask me. You're going to have two running backs in the backfield frequently. And it's just going to be a ground-and-pound kind of game where they try and become a contender eventually. They're going to try and get a lot of these young people some work, try and get them some playing experience, and hopefully Cam Newton will do what Troy Aikman did, come in and lose a whole lot of games your first year, and then lead your team to greatness.
Yeah, how would you like to be Jimmy Clausen, though? You get drafted last year by the Carolina
Panthers.
Yeah,
pretty much sucks.
And you think, well, you know what, I'm gonna get a chance.
We saw him take the field for the first time as an NFL quarterback in the New Meadowlands Stadium.
Because Matt Moore got smacked, and he got injured, here comes Clausen. And I'm not sure that was the best environment. Clausen's first series started from his own 3-yard line.
Steven remembers this.
Okay.
That's what I love about Steven. He may lie, but he remembers everything.
He may lie, but he remembers everything. He comes in because Matt Moore got hurt the season before. He comes in with the ball.
At the
You're
three.
First. Here you are, the quarterback. You're a rookie quarterback. Let's go, Rook.
You're
get out there.
Standing in your end zone.
Yeah, when you're huddling
you
in
know,
your own end
this
zone.
This spot I'm in, I shouldn't be in.
I mean, that's rough. And then the guy doesn't quite deliver the way you expect him all season long.
No.
And now you know how you're going to replay him? Let's bring in Cam Newton.
Well, you know what? The nice thing is he signed a nice big rookie contract under the old CBA.
Under the old rules,
right.
Yes.
Old CBA means he's okay.
Which means right now
fine.
Carolina has a lot of money tied into
the
quarterback
they
position.
They have an awful lot tied into the quarterback position, and which is why – they need to be spending elsewhere.
All right, here's our job. Today is going to be is the day where we are nice, Jeffrey. We're
going
to be nice
we're
to people
to lie.
And their teams, okay? So let's find something nice to say about the Carolina Panthers before we move on.
They're going to win a game.
One game? A game?
Well, you wanted me to say something nice. I'm reaching just
say
to get them a win.
Say something nicer.
Nicer?
Yes. Okay, I'll say this. That new Panther that they've got, he's sexy looking.
You mean the
mascot.
Icon?
The mascot.
Oh, the mascot.
Yes, the mascot.
Steven likes your mascot. Yeah.
Come on, I'm saying something nice, right?
Okay. The city that they play in, Charlotte, North Carolina, is a nice city. Nice people live in the greater Carolina area, and it is one of the parts of the country full of some of the nicest folks. I don't know what else to say, Steven. You're going to have to reach pretty far before you can say much more than that.
All right. Let's get away from them. I think we can both agree they will be bringing up the rear in this division.
Mind you, the only win I see them getting is out of their bye against the Tennessee Titans at home. And I think the Titans could probably beat them. So that was me trying to find them a win.
That was you trying to give them a win?
Yeah.
I'll tell you my win next week.
Oh, okay, because I'm like, good luck. I don't see another win in here anywhere.
I've got them winning one game. All right, moving on.
With the Redskins at home? Yeah, they beat the Redskins. Is that what you got?
I think that's what I got.
Folks, go out and look at the schedules from the team. The mighty spreadsheet. Oh, my gosh.
We have gotten a lot of
players. What's
the
guy's name again? You remember names.
James Reese
is becoming Sir James Reese.
Are we
he has
knight
been
him?
Knighted
He's going to
in
be
Rants and
NFL
Raves
Rants
legendary
and
land. Steven, the emails that we've gotten, besides the you hate and you're an a-hole and you're an imbecile, all the rest of the email has been, what did Sharon say about this?
Sharon says if you should just give $5 just so you can get the spreadsheet. The spreadsheet is phenomenal.
But somebody else said, somebody said this spreadsheet isn't phenomenal. It's magical.
It's magical. Wasn't that you?
No.
I think you said the magical.
No.
Someone
it's just
said
simply
it was
amazing. It's otherworldly.
Yeah.
That was the quote. Otherworldly.
Yes.
And James, the amount of work that you put into this thing, it is phenomenal. You should actually find yourself a job creating spreadsheets for people that are this deep.
Well, we like you very much,
Sir
James. And obviously our listeners like it very much.
Our website,
it was Lucas who said this spreadsheet The spreadsheet cannot be from this world.
There
it
you
is
go.
Amazing.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
And our numbers, the day that spreadsheet went up, our website numbers just went kablooey.
Yes, we did get a ton of people.
We got a nice spike in the website just from that day.
All our show donors came out to get the good stuff.
I've heard about this, and yeah, it's that good.
Yeah, it is that good.
It's that good.
We're glad people are enjoying it.
Use it and enjoy.
James, thank you very much. We appreciate it, buddy.
Sir James.
But you know what, buddy? We're going to expect it next year.
And we're going to expect it to be better. It's going to have a disco ball attached to it. Smoke and lasers and
all
stuff.
All right, let's get away from Carolina, where we have them at the bottom of the division,
yeah,
and move to the New Orleans Saints.
This is one sexy football team.
Can we not talk about your MCI on any players for the
sure.
New Orleans Saints,
That's
please?
Fine, but all Jimmy right, Graham's a god.
I knew he was going to do it. I knew he was going to go there. All right, I like the New Orleans Saints. I like how they've improved offensively. I like how they've improved defensively. I like how they've improved their special teams by adding little Darren Sproles. I like everything about the New Orleans Saints except the fact
that they play in an ugly dome.
That they play in New Orleans.
I've never been in New Orleans. You have.
Yes.
I long to walk the streets of Bourbon Street.
You know what? I've been to New Orleans, but I've never been to New Orleans at Mardi Gras. I need to go. Jeff, can you please?
You're the king of parties.
You take me to Mardi Gras, please?
Mardi Gras would be right before Lent, and that would be then April or something. We're not usually doing anything.
That's right. Can you please this year? This coming
I would
year?
Rather go for a Saints game.
Okay, we can go to Saints game too, but I
not
mean,
during Mardi Gras they don't play.
No. So let's go twice to New Orleans. We'll go to a Saints game.
I say we get it out of the way once, and then we think about twice.
How about we don't go to New Orleans to watch the Saints game? We watch the Saints game on the road,
no,
and then go to New Orleans.
That's supposed
for Mardi
to be
Gras.
A legendarily loud environment,
yes.
And I want to experience all the venues of the NFL in all their glory.
Okay, you big baby, I get it, I get it.
This year we're going to New Orleans. Anyone from the New Orleans area, Saints fans, hit me up.
Going to New Orleans.
I'm not a liar.
Don't
hit me
say,
up.
Don't
let me know.
Say we're not going to New Orleans.
It says
we,
you.
We need to sit down.
We need to sit down and think things through and include the wives. I understand
yes,
that.
Yes.
But come on, Saints fans,
that?
You need to show up. You need to tell us what's going on and when we should come. And make us an offer we can't refuse. Like week 7 where they host the Indianapolis Colts. Come on, Steven.
That would be good.
That's a good game, yeah.
You know, but week 7,
that's the 23rd of October. We're in London. Dang it.
Yes, so there you go. So there is
they play the Giants at home. They've got the Falcons, week 16, December 26th. You're not doing anything the day after Christmas. I know you're not.
I might be, although that would be a great
it's Monday
game.
Night football, dude,
dun,
in
dun,
New Orleans.
Dun, dun.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah, New Orleans is not in the cards, unfortunately, this year.
That will be for the division.
Jeffrey,
what?
Let's talk about
this. Let's move on. Let's talk about it off air.
This is the team I see as the cream de la creme in the NFC.
That'd be French for the cream of the cream.
Isn't that what they say, the creme de la creme?
Cream of the crop? I don't know. The creme de la creme. I don't know. I don't speak French at all.
That's what I'm saying. Don't make
You're the
fun
one who speaks
this.
French. I don't know.
The creme de la creme.
And we're talking about the New Orleans Saints, which has a French quarter.
Yes. The creme de la creme. It's they're certainly one of the best teams in the division. Sean Payton runs a tight ship, but it's a fun ship.
It really is. Fun. I wouldn't go that far. It's loose. How's that?
It's fun.
Okay.
You can be loose and not be fun.
Yeah.
They're fun.
A lot of the Oakland Raiders. You're kind of loose and
not fun.
Because you're losing and losing sucks.
Yeah. But, yeah, some of the key additions there. I really like rookie Mark Ingram. He's showing that I believe pretty soon Pierre Thomas's carries will diminish just because of how strong Mark Ingram is of a runner. And Mark Ingram may become the featured back there, and then Pierre Thomas will come in and spell him from time to time. And they're going to use Darren Sproles out of the backfield and use him on kickoffs and punt returns, which means that's electrifying their return unit. And that's just the offensive side of the ball. Defensive side of the ball, They've brought in some other pieces that I just think are going to make them that much stronger. They were embarrassed last year going up to Seattle and getting their butts handed to them by a team that had a losing record.
No, I remember talking to Drew about this when we got a chance to go out to Oxnard. We talked to Drew. We talked to a couple of the players about this. We talked to Coach Payton about this. And basically, they saw this as their humbling moment.
Yeah.
They were coming off their Super Bowl championship, and then they kind of felt like we should be there every year because we're really good. And they went into Seattle, and it just they took them a little lightly.
They took them lightly, and it was like,
and look,
wow.
This is the NFL, people. You don't take anybody lightly.
No.
Best way to lose is to make sure you do that. And so they've been humbled by this, and I think they're, as a result, they're hungrier. And again, second-year man, Jimmy Graham, the tight end, you are going to see some phenomenal plays this season made by this young man. He's out of what, Miami, Florida? Where's he out of? Miami, Florida. And 6'6", 260. This is why they were okay getting rid of the Italian, Jeremy Shockey.
The Italian.
He is fragile. He's a very physical tight end, and he gets hurt. And so what they've done is they've gone younger and bigger. He played basketball in college, and he can jump. So you just basically – Drew Brees now has an extra security blanket.
Yeah.
And red zone targets you're going to see are off the chart. He wasn't being owned in fantasy football in the first preseason when people were drafting. And now he's owned in 99% of all drafts because people are paying attention and going, this kid's really special.
Yeah, they brought in Tremaine McBride, Alex Barron, Olin Krutz. Remember, he got released up there in Chicago. I think that they're an overall solid team, the New Orleans Saints. And I think they're going to be a team to reckon with. They're going to be a force to reckon with. They win this division. It's going to be tough to go into New Orleans and beat them in the playoffs.
Totally agree.
And finally, that leaves the younger team. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Now, lest you have missed it, Youngry was a phrase he's that Coach Raheem Morris coined.
Yes.
They are young and hungry. They are Youngry.
Yes.
And they are. And they, you know what? What they did last year was nothing short of amazing.
It was very, very difficult for me to keep the Tampa Bay Buccaneers out of the playoffs. But as you'll learn on Monday, they're just going to miss it.
Well, here's what I thought was interesting, looking at Sir James' remarkable spreadsheet. He actually goes back the last 9 years of their standings. And so they finished with 11 wins in 2005, 4 wins in 2006, 9 wins in 2007. You're like, what's going on with this team? I mean, that's a 7-win differential, and then they're up 5, and then they hold steady at 9, and then they drop 6 to only winning 3 games in 2009.
Yeah, that was
now
amazing.
They're up to 10 wins last season. So the question is, who are these teams, who are these guys, and what are they going to do this year?
Well, remember, this division is notorious from the
worst
place
first.
Team to
right.
go in first.
That,
right?
And that will no longer happen for several years.
Yeah, for a few years now, I think that the two top teams will remain the Falcons and the Saints.
But Tampa Bay, I have in the playoffs as the third team with the final wild card spot.
So does that mean you have both wild card teams coming out of the South?
That is what I said, exactly.
Wow.
And look, that means I've got Buccaneers with 11 wins. I'll let you do the math from there.
Holy snap.
Yes, I have 37 wins coming out of 38, if you count the Panthers, coming out of the NFC South.
Holy snapdragon.
I've got them being the dominating force in the NFC, Stephen. I mean, really, the Packers are going to be a dominating force, and then it is going to be the South, minus the Panthers.
Wow. I'm a little floored by this. I need to go look at my sheet now.
Well, good. Anytime I have to make Steven
well,
do a double
you've
take.
Well, because you've got those two teams having 11, so I'm assuming Atlanta's got 11-plus wins.
Absolutely.
And how many wins do you have the Saints at?
12.
Okay, so you have 12, 11, 11.
No, I have 14, 12, and 11.
14, 12, and 11. So you have Atlanta. 14
for the Falcons. I have Atlanta
you
repeating.
You have Atlanta winning the division
yeah,
with
14,
a 14. And then
and
the Saints
record.
Are a wild card team?
Yeah, 12 and 4.
Man, what are you smoking? I want some of it, whatever it is, Jeff.
This particular brand is something number 986.
986, that's a nice pipe. It smelled pretty nice, actually.
I'm glad you liked it.
Wow, I don't even know what to say.
Steven, you disagree.
Yeah, I do disagree because I think there are a couple other teams out there that will have some pretty good records that you're kind of not – that means that
– well.
Either the Cowboys or the Philadelphia Eagles don't make the playoffs.
That is correct. One of those two teams will not.
Okay. And that's difficult for me to see.
Well, I just think the East is – here's what – not to regurgitate material that we just did a few days ago. But in the East, what I see is very solid football. I don't see exceptional football. I see solid football.
Okay.
From top to bottom in that division. Remember, I don't have a team below 500. I've got the Redskins at 8-8.
Yeah.
At the bottom of that division, I've got the Cowboys and Eagles with 10. So that's going to come down to their record against each other, and then it probably will go deeper than that into some division conference records and things like that. So they better be careful with
those two
teams.
Well, look at your playoff tab.
Well, I know what under my playoff tab, I know what I got.
Okay.
I have the Cowboys beating out the Eagles and losing to the Falcons in the second round of the playoffs on 14 January.
Wow, that's good stuff.
Oh, yeah, Sir James, we're Americans, so we like the date. We do like it's the 10th of July, not July 10.
We do July 10, not 15 July.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's the British way. And, yeah, you guys
Jeff,
have been around a lot
British.
Longer than us.
Leave him alone.
He's optimizing this for the ultimate fandom.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Which means that you Brits have to just, you know, take some of your little colloquialisms and lay them aside for a little while, Sir James.
Somebody did send me an email and say, on your little images of the podcast, can you change it this way? And I'm like, no.
Can we put the home team on the left? No, this is not soccer.
No, it was the date. They wanted the date changed.
They want the date in the English format?
Yeah.
That's not going to happen ever. And remember, this time zone is not British Standard Time. It's Pacific Time because this is the Rave Cave. That's how we roll.
All right.
Steven Tack, back to the teams now. We're talking
back
about
to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Look, I love them.
I think that they are an up-and-coming team. I think the 10 wins last year was phenomenal. And
partly a result of their schedule, you'd probably say.
Probably. You know, 10 wins, and they're third place in the division.
Correct. And that's what I got.
Unfortunately, as much as I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I don't have them seeing. I don't have them reaching double-digit wins.
Okay.
And therefore, I don't have them in the playoffs.
And the reason would be because?
Because their schedule is they. Now let's take a look at this. Whatchamacallit.
The second tab of the spreadsheet has their schedule.
That's right. I could just stay on the spreadsheet.
I don't ever leave anywhere.
I don't have to go to the
spreadsheet.
I don't have to go to the websites.
Exactly. So they open at home against Detroit, and that's a good open for them. And that'll be a good test for them, frankly.
Yeah.
Detroit will be ready to play. And
I actually I don't have them winning that game.
And Steven, Detroit could beat them. I don't think that's outrageous at all. But again, I would say to Tampa Bay, you guys are going to be in desperate need of every win. Because I've got you as the third team in this conference in this division coming out, you dang well better get every win you can. And so that week one game, you better be ready.
Pray for rain. Let me just throw this out real quick. They've drawn the NFC North this year. So that means they play the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions. And I think three of those teams could very easily beat them. All right. Then in the AFC side, they've drawn the AFC South. So they have the Jags, the Texans, the Colts, and the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
Three of those teams I see could beat them.
The Jags I don't think can touch them, and the Titans I know can't touch them.
Yeah,
so that
I think
the Colts
and the
Texans.
I think the Jags can.
And I think the Colts and Texans are better than them, Steven.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So I'm not disagreeing with that.
The reason I'm talking about the Jags is the Jags have them in Jacksonville. If this were in Tampa Bay, different story. In Jacksonville, it's going to be tough. And then the third place schedule, the other two teams that they got gives them Dallas because Dallas finished third.
Yeah, that was unlucky for them.
That was. And the other third place team in the West, was that the Rams?
No, because the Rams
were
second. 49ers.
No. Oh, okay. Then they can take care of that.
And, yeah, actually, I have San Francisco winning that game. So that's how, you know, because they're in San Francisco.
San Francisco. The but Tampa Bay coming all the way to the West Coast.
Yeah, after playing Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So that, again, is a really tough swing. And the reason I did that, they have Indianapolis on Monday Night Football, and then they have to go out west after Monday Night Football. And I just think that's too tough on a young team.
Yeah.
So that's the reason. The 49ers drew a very lucky one there, and that gets them a win, which will be very nice for them.
Because they need some.
As you'll hear.
They need some
wins. They need some wins.
So I'd like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I want to find more wins, and I probably could find more wins from them. I just – it's the schedule, the way it's lined up is unfortunate. I don't have them with double-digit wins, and you're going to need double-digit wins
absolutely
to get to the playoffs.
Completely concur with that assessment.
Unless – you're in the NFC West.
Oh, you don't even need a 500 record in the NFC West.
And with
as
that,
as demonstrated last week.
Let's get to the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. Arizona Cardinals, they don't have a song.
No, they don't.
If there's a fight song for them, send it to us. Let us know.
All right. Well, I fortunately do have one of the teams in the West above 500.
Then it's got to be this one.
And this is the team that I've got.
Okay.
The first record that I will give you, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
9-7. I've got the Arizona Cardinals.
That's the way you get above 500 is to go to 9-7. That is the shortest distance.
But that's going to be enough to win this division.
Oh, heavens, yes. I'm going to look at my division standings here. And I have the Rams winning the division at 7-9.
Ooh, a repeat of last year. Oh, mercy.
And I've got Zona
helps me.
I got Zona with 6 wins.
Help me.
And I got Seattle with 6 wins. Zona, and maybe I need to revisit because the fact is Kevin Cobb has looked better every week of the preseason. Mm-hmm. He's looking like he's fitting into Ken Wisenhunt's system there much better. He's getting certainly a lot of production from Todd Heap. That was a great sign for them at tight end. Yeah. And when you've got anybody that can take some of the pressure off Larry Fitzgerald, you have yourself a good situation. Beanie Wells, though, is a subpar running back.
Yeah.
And that saddens me because when you've got a team that is not doing the running back by committee situation, that one back should be pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But he's not. He's sharing carries occasionally with LaRod Stevens Howling. And that's it. We're going to have a rookie come along here or some journeyman that's going to come and battle him.
I suspect that once all the final cuts are made here, which are going to be happening in the next couple of days, that
– teams are at what, 80 now?
They're at 80.
And they go from
they'll go
there
to
where?
53.
They go that fast.
There's no
intermediate.
It goes from 90 to 80, which they did a couple of days ago.
Yeah, and that should reasonably easy.
Yeah.
But if you talk to any general manager, he'll say that's difficult.
From 80 to 53.
That's brutal.
Going from 80 to about 65 is pretty easy.
Those final ones are just the roughest.
It's the ones on the bubble.
And those guys, I point you back to go dig up old episodes of Hard Knocks. And look at those final episodes from each season where they're making those final cutdowns.
Yeah.
And those meetings are brutal.
This
is not a game, although it is a gladiator sport, it is played by men.
Yes.
These are men with families. These are men with dreams and hopes.
I'll steal a line from Jerry Maguire because I love it. It's not show friends, it's show business.
It's not show friends, it's show business.
It's show business, and you got to make sure that you got the best person for your business. And, you know, coaches will be like, that's who you want to keep? That's who you want to keep? Are you kidding me? And then he just gives a tirade as to all the reasons why you shouldn't keep that guy. Yeah. And then, I got to think about it some more now, you know?
Cutdowns are going to be tough. And so for Arizona, I think especially because they've got a team that's kind of,
People will look at me and they'll say, Steven, why do you have Arizona winning this division with 9-7? And
how do you have them winning 9 games?
Well, here you go.
Week one against the Panthers, not a problem.
There you go. And when you start 1-0, Jeff,
you've got a chance.
You get a nice little
swagger.
Confidence built up, right?
Well, you certainly don't feel crummy.
Obviously, I am starting to believe a little more in this Kevin Corn on the Cobb guy.
Well, we met him in Philadelphia as he was the surprise reliever.
That's right, the backup.
And so he's the guy. Did you go to the Eagles locker room with me?
You were there.
So I was one-on-one with Kevin Cobb. There was probably no more than 10, 15 journalists in the room interviewing him. And I think he was as surprised as anybody to find himself in there in the interview room post-game because he wasn't supposed to have been in the game. But the way he handled himself in his calm demeanor, and it was, there's a resoluteness about Kevin Cobb that people who have not met him get the impression that he is just doesn't have the fire, doesn't have the eye of the tiger kind of thing. And that couldn't be further from the truth. This guy is a fierce competitor. Steven doing his Rocky imitation. That's nice. That's right. Cut me, Mick.
Eye of the tiger. I don't know what it is, but I do know that he is really syncing up with Fitzgerald nicely.
Well, not hard when you're Larry Fitzgerald.
That's true. He is quickly got a security blanket in Todd Heap.
Yep.
Todd Heap, you said, was a nice addition. I agree there. And, Beanie Wells is going to be serviceable. I don't believe he's the, give him 35 carries
a game. If they had a Ben Tate from Houston, forget about it.
Well, they might pull a trade.
They'd be a 10-win team.
You never know. They might pull a trade.
They do have a lot of depth.
It's not
going to
be for Ben Tate,
but Steven, they do have a lot of depth.
They have
running
Derek
back.
Ward.
They have
Steve Slayton. There's a lot of guys who could start for the Arizona Cardinals.
The Arizona Cardinals are one running back away from being an extremely competitive team, and certainly not an easy out because their defense is good. Their defense has been consistent. They run the 4-3. I mean the 3-4. God, I'm backwards. They run the 3-4 and they run it really well. And they're a fierce, get-after-you kind of team. They're one of these more modern offenses that is not locked into a base defense. They're more of a blitzing defense that comes at you with different packages and things. And then they fall back to their base 3-4. But they can certainly get after you. And they've added Joey Porter, and I don't think he's done. Talk about a chip on the shoulder. Joey Porter is playing with a little fierceness and ferocity this season.
Okay, so as we talked about a little bit ago with the South, now I'll tell you the NFC West this year plays the NFC East. So they've got the Cowboys, the Giants, the Eagles, and the Redskins. And Jeffrey,
I've actually
got Arizona losing to every single one of those teams, including the Redskins.
The Redskins winning. I've got the Giants winning. I've got the Eagles winning. And I've got the Cowboys winning. So, Steven, that's how you get 7 wins okay?
But the flip side for Arizona is that they have they were the last year in this division. Mm-hmm. So they have a last-place record. So they get the Carolina Panthers, which they can take care of. And I think they play the Vikings, which I think
I'm going to revise mine because the Cleveland Browns, I actually had them losing to the Cleveland Browns at home. That will not happen.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And then they got the AFC North, and although the Steelers and the Ravens they're not going to win those games, they can very easily beat Cleveland and Cincinnati.
They can give them a run for their money, that's for sure.
So, I think that they will do more than split with I think there's one team. I think they split with the Rams, but I think they can handle Seattle and San Francisco both times they play them.
That's how I came up
with the 9 wins for the Arizona Cardinals, and it's because I think their defense, surprise, surprise, not their offense, their defense is going to keep them in games.
They also have to go to So Colger Field when it's cold. 18th of December.
It is cold there in Soldier Field.
Yeah. And their second half schedule is a little – well, they're, you know what? Throughout the – they've got a balanced schedule, but they have some extremely difficult teams that they have to face. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Chicago Bears, both on the road.
So you have them playing the Bears?
I'm sorry, Seattle. I'm on the Seahawks.
I'm like,
My bad. My bad.
Like the Bear was in second place.
They clicked over to the wrong place.
I'm like, stop scaring me.
I'm sorry.
No, they don't play the Bears, dog. They do play the Steelers and the Ravens, which they're not going to win.
Sorry, that was the Seattle Seahawks that have the thankless task of going in on the week before Christmas to lose in Soldier Field.
This is going to be an interesting division. But like I said, I've got them winning the division. Let's move on to the St. Louis Rams.
Son, this game is important. They're playing the Rams, and if you lose to the Rams, you get thrown out of the league.
Not no more.
The Rams are
Sam Bradford has reclaimed this team and said, along with Spags, I want to give Spags all the credit in the world. We're for real. We are a legit football team. And when you come to our house, you're going to remember that you came. And it's not because of all the champagne that you poured over your head. It's because you got a whooping. It's not that you're going to get beaten down every time. It's not that you're going to come away with a loss every time. But you are going to feel it. They're a very physical team. They are trying to match up. I liken them to the Lions, kind of.
Okay.
And they have a tenacity about them on defense where they play really hard. Mm-hmm. And they've got Chris Long. Love Chris Long.
Well, I like that they went out and they tried to do something about their wide receiving core. They went out and they re-signed Mark Clain. They brought in Mike Sims-Walker. So they're obviously getting weapons to Sam Bradford. And from what the little I've seen of the Rams this preseason, Bradford has certainly grown a liking to Mike Sims-Walker and is throwing him the ball. Caught a touchdown pass in the preseason. And I think that's going to be a great addition. Steven Jackson.
What I like about Steven Jackson, Steven, is that he hasn't played. Okay? Because what that has meant is that Bradford has had to become more comfortable with his receiving core.
Yeah.
And what that's meant is that you can be assured of more balance in this offense. It's no longer going to be feed the ball to Steven Jackson. It's going to be feed the ball to Steven Jackson, and boom. There's the big wide open guy and big plays. Look for a lot of big plays.
Yeah,
from this
I also
offense.
Like this Lance Kendrick, this new tight end that they've got come in, this rookie tight end who's playing some good ball right now. He's had a couple touchdowns in this preseason. So offensively, I think they're going to be fun, and that's what I'll say about the Rams.
Yeah,
offensively,
yes,
they'll put up the points. They'll be fine.
Right.
What scares me is defensively.
Look, the only thing that scares me in their defense is their secondary, and that's not saying much to say that the secondary is not a problem. Secondary is a problem.
It's a problem
on this team.
And
but
this
look,
preseason,
their front seven, Steven,
yeah,
are pretty terrific.
Yeah, but this preseason they're the 25th ranked pass defense right now.
And that's the problem.
In the preseason. And I know it's just the preseason, but
it counts, folks.
It carries. It carries over a little bit. If you're giving up a lot of pass yards, teams are going to beat you that way. And, you know, in your division, you got pass-happy Arizona. They're going to have to be. We talked about the Beanie Wells. You got pass-happy. Well, San Francisco is not that pass-happy, but they may have to be.
They're not happy at all, Steven.
That's right. And then you've got the Seattle Seahawks who, well,
they're going to try.
Have they found a quarterback yet?
Yeah.
Are they keeping Tavares Jackson?
Yeah. I haven't heard one word that they're wavering or waffling
Jackson
at all.
Or Whitehurst. Jackson
I have
or
not
Whitehurst.
Heard, although Pete Carroll really likes Charlie Whitehurst a lot,
yeah,
they seem that they're going to be continuing with Tavares Jackson experiment.
Huh? All right.
Look,
well,
but I want to say this about their front seven.
Okay.
Because, look,
talk
these
about
are becoming
seven.
Household
you're
names, Steven.
Them. Okay.
Okay, Brian Khalil, James Laurinaitis, Ben Lieber. These are all guys that people know. Chris Long. Fred Robbins, not as much, but Justin Bannon, and Robert Quinn. These are guys that are becoming more household names, and they play for the Rams on defense.
Rams.
It's like, guys, so if they would do
are
anything
these,
in
are
the
these
secondary.
Are these households in St. Louis?
No, these are households for people who know football.
Okay.
You don't want to have to try and run the ball against these guys.
No, I agree. I still think their defense is the weak. If there's a weak spot with the Rams
secondary
that's kind of made me keep them in second place, it's their defense. I think it's their
reminds
defense.
Me of the Raiders a little bit there where you could throw on them all day and it's just yeah. No, the Raiders, I'm sorry, you
could
run
on them all
day.
Yeah.
If you merge these two teams, brought them back to LA, put them together, you'd have a really good football team.
There you go.
There's the answer.
All right.
Short of that, we're moving on.
The Seattle Seahawks. And weren't we just talking about Tavares Jackson and Charlie Whitehurst?
What a transition. It's like it was on purpose.
Jeffrey.
Seattle. Doc Rob, we're sorry. It's going to look forward to seeing you in Vegas and hooking up with you to watch the Cowboys in Vegas.
Beat up on your team. Hey, Doc, you want to bet some money? I'll bet you some money.
Rob's been too cool to us.
He
never
has.
Mock him
oh,
like
I,
that.
I can't take his money.
You can't mock
money.
People have been that cool.
I can't.
You can
no,
take
I'm
his money.
I can't get
but you can't mock him.
I'm not mocking
he's
him.
He's not
I'm
a
saying,
fool. He's not going to take.
I'm just saying, do you want to bet?
He is not going to take.
I'll give him the line. Whatever the line is, I'll give it to him.
Will you give him spot him three on top
no,
of the line?
No,
that I want to see. That I want to see. I do want to see. I'll just sit back with a smirk on my face and watch.
So have we decided? Are we meeting Doc Rob in Vegas for Cowboys?
We've got to.
All right. See, another meeting that
another
we need
commitment.
To have.
Yes, we need to have a meeting.
All right. Finally. Oh, no.
We didn't say anything about Seattle, dum-dum.
Finally, let's go. Yes, I'm sorry. What do you have to say about the Seattle Seahawks?
It's going to be a really long season, and the 12th man is going to have to become 12 and a half men if you're going to actually try and stop these guys. Stop anyone. Marshawn Lynch at running back. Come on. Justin Forsett, Leon Washington. Really? Really? Sidney Rice has looked pedestrian so far this, and we're not hating. We're just observing. Mike Williams is for real and is a star wide receiver if you were on a good team.
Yeah.
And he's going to be
doubled. They signed Atari Bigby?
Okay, that's a difference maker.
Right? I mean, they went out and they got a free agent for them that thought was going to help them.
By the way, Kentwan Ballmer's available right now.
But Atari Bigby, who, you know, came from Super Bowl, so he's got, you know, Super Bowl champion Green Bay last year.
Yep.
They went out and they snagged him out of free agency, so that's going to help their defense a little bit. I believe, however, Seattle's problems does not lie on the defensive side of the ball.
No, it's on the other side of the ball big time, and it's a huge problem.
Last I checked, Jeffrey, and correct me if I'm wrong.
You're wrong.
I said correct me if I'm wrong.
Sorry.
Last I checked, and then I'm going to tell you what I checked
see.
On. But last I checked, you need to score points in the NFL to win games.
Yep.
Yeah.
Golden Tate is going to be that guy.
He's the guy who drops balls, and then they blame the interception on Tavares Jackson.
Yeah.
Which still, by the way, if the league is listening, we've got to do something about charging interceptions to wide receivers.
There is Football Guys, I believe, is now got – they're tracking that as a stat because it's a pretty cool service that they have.
Yeah.
They have a guy who will watch every single game every week.
Uh-huh.
So they have enough personnel on their staff that they can dedicate eyes to each game, and they're actually keeping track of that as a stat.
Yeah. Look, Jeffrey, check this out.
INTs caused by wide receivers.
The league is already tracking drop passes.
Yes, and targets.
Okay.
Tracking targets.
Yes.
And then drop balls. And you're tracking interceptions.
All I am asking.
Put the math together.
All I am asking is if it is an interception due to a drop pass, charge it to the wide receiver and not the quarterback. That's all I'm asking. It's very simple.
Yep.
Because a quarterback, if your job is to throw the ball and hit the receiver right in the hands, and you do your job, and the receiver drops the ball and it gets intercepted, why is that the quarterback's fault?
Or he tips the ball, and next thing you know, it's a tip ball drill. That's not on the quarterback.
I never understood that.
No, that's if we were ever commissioner, that's what we would
and
do.
And that's the quarterback in me coming out.
Okay, San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, the San Francisco 49ers. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. You know what? I'm trying to get excited for this team. I really
we have a show
like
dedicated
the
to
San
them.
Francisco 49ers.
Oh, and that was the other moronic
mine.
Thing. So because Jeff loves the 49ers and Steve loves the Cowboys, that's why they have those two shows.
No.
We
made it very clear how we came up with the two teams to do the shows.
And since I grew up hating the 49ers and Cowboys, I'm not sure how that logic works. Okay, friends?
Well, you like the 49ers. It's quite obvious.
Yeah, it's quite obvious that being from L.A. and losing to the 49ers every freaking year, twice a year when I was a Rams fan, that obviously that would be my next love. No, my wife is the 49er, Homer, and she is not optimistic about this team, Steven.
Yeah, and what does she have to say? I bet she's not. Is she even watching our 49er
gold
mine?
She watches everything, Steven,
really?
And she says that she is having so much fun watching those things.
Good, good.
She doesn't watch at work, which she needs to. She needs a laugh during work.
Tell her that during lunch she needs to click it on. And
yeah, she doesn't really take a lunch.
Take
she
a
just
lunch?
Works.
She just, yeah.
Yeah, somebody brings her lunch.
Well, the
eats.
Good things for the 49ers is they've made Frank Gore kind of happy by giving him an extension. So that's a good thing. They finally
activated $21 million.
Michael Crabtree from the PUP list. So he's kind of back at practice. He's not going full speed yet, but he may be ready for week one.
Now, Mayoko's reporting today on CSN Bay Area that he believes Braylon Edwards won't be the guy to top 1,000 yards this season.
So
Braylon's going to have to. He's saying that Braylon's not going to be the guy.
So it's going to be Crabtree?
Well, I don't know. I don't know that they're going to have a receiver over 1,000 yards is kind of what they're saying.
Nobody?
Well, what about Vernon Davis?
Will they have three guys with like 850?
Mayoko goes on to say that he believes Vernon Davis has the best chance of any player on the roster to break the 1,000-yard mark.
Wow.
When you're tight end, again, and we said this in years gone by, when you're tight end, it's your most explosive, dangerous player on the field. Your team has lots of problems. Tight ends, that's not what a tight end is for, friends. Not even in a West Coast scheme. He's not to be the leading receiver on your team.
Jeffrey, here's the thing with the San Francisco 49ers. And I kind of like Coach Harbaugh a lot. I make no bones about it. I liked him when he was in Stanford. And
big
I
Stanford
like him
family.
Now the 49er
yep.
guy. The thing is, it's going to take him a little bit of time to kind of get used to the speed of the National Football League.
It's already clearly taken him time just to understand the rules
there
that
you
can't have a player do something.
We discussed on the 49ers
the
gold mine about that. So if you want more on that, you should go check that
out. But Crabtree was playing catch with
Alex Smith
when he was on the pup list.
And you can't do that. It's a violation
of the
league.
There's been other things
rules.
That have gone on that are just basic. This is how the league works. And for some reason, he doesn't have his brother on speed dial.
The way he handled his first-string offense in the third preseason game. But I think he will eventually get it in. Eventually the 49ers will be okay. This season, though, I think is a learning year. I think the 49ers will win some games. I don't think they're as bad as some people are saying. They're going to win one game. They're going to win more than one game. I guarantee you that just because of the way their schedule plays out.
I have them winning three.
Okay, I think I have them winning four or five right in there somewhere. They're not going to be the worst team in the league, but they're going to be pretty darn close to it just because of their losses on the defensive side of the ball. TK Spikes comes to mind.
You know, Steven, I was just thinking about TK Spikes and how happy he must be.
How happy he must be. So anyways, where do you have the Niners in the division?
DFL, dead freaking last.
Dead freaking last. I think I have them. I have Seattle last. I think I have the Niners in third place.
Fact is, these are teams that are a couple years away, and that's the way it is.
All right, Jeffrey, good stuff. All teams have now been accounted for. Our next show up Monday is our prediction show where we give you records, we'll give you who's going to the playoffs, we'll give you who's going to be in the Super Bowl, who's going to hoist the Lombardi Trophy at the end.
And for all the Brits out there, that's all they care about anyways, predictions.
That's right, predictions, predictions. And then we started off 2 days later with the week one preview show and the debut of Kings of the Pool.
Kings of the Pool.
Yes.
You don't want to miss that video.
Kings of the Pool, where we tell you basically
how to dominate your office pool.
How to dominate your office pool. That's all the time we have for now. I'm Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis.
For your NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.